We are so thankful that we can come together and sit under the sound of His Word. What place could there be that you could choose to be tonight, that you could prefer to go from here to there? I think none. It is an indescribable grace that we are allowed to come together to hear God's Word. And not only that, as has already been said, so that faith can come into our hearts and God can confirm this faith in His Word. After all, we don't just come as listeners and spectators. We come as people who experience God, who want to experience what He has promised. The words that have been read are all wonderful. There is nothing to be added. In Hosea, we have all understood it. In chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land." These were the accusations that God brought. And then comes the verse we have already heard. "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." I believe that we can say, and this we say with all our heart, that we do not lack the knowledge of God and His Word. We should not lack. God has instructed us abundantly. He has distributed His Word. As our brother mentioned, Brother Branham was referring to Hosea 6 and to these 2 days. One day with God is like our 1,000 years. And when these 2,000 years, which are meant for the New Testament Church, reach their end, God will turn to the people of Israel again, and they will recover and rejoice on the third day in their God, who will save them. We know that the prophetic words will all be fulfilled and have their place in the overall plan of God. But when it is written, "I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face, in their affliction they will earnestly seek me." If ever there was a time when the need was great, then it is now. And when we have an earnest desire for God, that He comes to His right. You know, for about 30 years, I have so often had the thought, what will people say? I was a person who always thought, what will this one say? What will that one say? But since the 1st of January of this year, when I had arrived at the hour of death, so to speak, everything that people would say or think was no longer in demand. Only one sentence came from my lips, or at least very quietly, "Lord, how do I stand before you?" We can ask 100 times, "What do people say?" and so on. And that will not help us. How do we stand before God? How does God see you? How does He see me? We have already heard and read in Corinthians, and we'll come to this, that we no longer know anyone as he is, but because we have been known by God, We know each other according to the Spirit. But here it says that we should earnestly desire it and then seek God and He will turn to us again. Come and let us return unto the Lord, for He has torn and He will heal us. He has smitten and He will bind us up. After 2 days, Ezra said, a prophetic word, but every word of God is inspired by the Holy Spirit and is profitable for instruction and edification of the church of the Lord. And then it says, then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord. There are indeed two kinds of knowledge. There is a human knowledge and a divine knowledge. And there is no lack of human knowledge at all. Everyone has his own knowledge, and that in great measure. But this is about the knowledge of God, following on to know the Lord. And as our brother said, Paul put it this way, I want to know Him and the power of His resurrection, and it already includes and share in His sufferings. Then it says here, as a promise, His going forth is prepared as the morning, and He shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain on the earth. No uncertainty in the Word of God, no empty promises, but God's Word is true, and what He has spoken is certain. We can rely on it 100%. Even the latter rain and everything connected with it, God will do in His time by grace. Then there is the word in Corinthians about being unclothed and clothed. You know what is meant by that. Paul waited for the rapture. He did not wait to die, but to be clothed immediately, to be transformed and taken into glory. But then there is this one verse that we must not overlook nor pass over. It is verse 5. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 5. Now He that has wrought us for the selfsame thing is God. Who also has given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. There is no man who could prepare himself, but He that has wrought us and prepared us is God. And where does God prepare? Under the sound of His Word. How does God prepare? When we believe His Word and give His Spirit room to work. The preparation cannot happen theoretically, but must happen through His Spirit, which we receive as an earnest. I believe this word is very clear. Now He that has wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also has given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Beloved, there is no way around it. We need the hour and the day, and this from the first to the last, where we experience such a baptism in the Spirit, so that there is absolutely no doubt about it. That there is not one left who still has to ask, have I received it or have I not received it? That all know they have received it. The 120 In the upper room, anyone could have asked them. They were there. They experienced it. They received it. And that was the end of the matter for them. God had answered. But as long as we are still in doubt about it, there is a danger that we have not yet had this experience. And if we have not had it, then the word that we have heard will not be able to penetrate to the life. And the living faith that we would like to have will not be there as it should be. It is written, "The letter killeth, the spirit makes alive." But if the word is planted in us, then the spirit must also come into us to make the implanted word alive, to fertilize it, to bring it forth to life. But it is a glorious word, not you and not I, not your effort and not mine. Now he that has wrought us or prepared us is God, who also has given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. This is not you and not me. This is God, who works both the willing and the accomplishing in us. In verse 6, the apostle says, "Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that, whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord." And he then also describes the state of the body, that we groan in it and would gladly emigrate. But as yet we live by faith and not by sight. But if we want to see what we believe here, then the quickening power of God's Spirit must dwell in our mortal bodies so that they can be made alive. God's word does not show us any other way. There are some wonderful thoughts here that we could delve into, that we could go into. He wanted to be with the Lord. Who wouldn't want to be? I think if I were to ask tonight, who still wants to remain on earth or who wants to enter into glory, then surely that is or would be the same answer from all. Only home, through the pearly gates, into the heavenly glory. We have no abiding place here on earth, but we seek the place to come. That is, the Lord has already prepared it for us and will come again to take us home into His glory. Then, from verse 14, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then were all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." This is also a very serious word. If Christ died for us and brought us to a new life, then we are no longer to live for ourselves, but for Him. And if we were to ask ourselves the question, how can the individual, how can you and I live for Him? We all know that when our Lord walked here on earth, He never thought of Himself. He cared about the people. He felt sorry for them. He saw the sick. He saw the lost. His eyes were open to every need. His ears to the cry of every heart. He saw the sinners as lost, and he knew where they were going, and it grieved him, it moved him. And I believe that if all of us could be filled anew with the love of God and seized by the grace of God and filled with the Holy Spirit, then it would be possible for us to live no longer for ourselves, but for Him who died for us and was raised from the dead. How can this happen in detail? How can you, dear sister, live for Him as a housewife? How can I, how can we all live for Him, be there for Him? When I live for a cause, then I'm there for the cause. Then I'm committed to it. Then that is the main purpose and meaning of my life. If I live for a cause, then it's all about that cause. Not two or three different causes, but that one cause. There are people who say, I live for such and such a purpose. For what purpose do we live? We live for Him who died for us, because He laid down His life and gave His blood for us. What a wonderful word. And for this cause He died for all, that they which live, not so that all, for all do not come to eternal life, dying for all mankind. But all mankind does not accept salvation. But those who accept it and come to life, that is why it says, so that those who live, yes, earthly they all live, but they live for themselves. They live past God. They do not accept grace. But here it says, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. What a wonderful and glorious word. And then it says in verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. May God confirm this word as truth in your life and in mine, that something new wants to have come into being in us. The body is still here. We will wear it until we are changed or called home. But in our soul, a renewal must have taken place through the Spirit. And here it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And then the wonderful word. And all these things are from God. Do you realize that you and I can add nothing at all? And all these things are from God. But we must allow Him to do His work in us. We must make ourselves available to Him so that He can make His word a reality in us. And all these things are from God, who has reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. This is something quite wonderful. Whoever has experienced reconciliation, whoever has received the grace of God, cannot but be grateful for what God has done. And we are here tonight to worship, to give thanks, and this with all our hearts for what God has done. We cannot give thanks for what people have done or what the enemy has done. We don't need to. But for what God has done, And the psalmist says, God has done great things for my soul. And if we were to read Psalm 103, forget not all his benefits. And then it goes on to say, for God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Already on the cross of Calvary, your and my transgression was laid upon him. There your and my reconciliation took place. There your and my forgiveness was granted to you and me by grace. And we may accept it. He has laid up in us the word of reconciliation. And then it says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. Who does God have through whom he can speak? What mouth can he use? Only yours and mine. Do you think anyone will speak to the people? If it is not you, and it cannot be me, then perhaps it will be no one who speaks to them. You will say, anyone can speak anything, but God's word and what God has to say to people can only be spoken and passed on by those to whom God has spoken, who have understood what God is doing in this time, and who have received his word from the heart. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you, in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. It is an evangelistic sermon, but it is very good for all of us. He who is reconciled to God is also reconciled to one another. Whoever God has forgiven, he has forgiven everyone. Everyone. There is no exception. And that is the grace that we have within us. An absolute, a complete forgiveness that I have received and can extend to anyone else who has somehow done something to you. I don't know of anyone, but if it were, then forgiveness and reconciliation is in all hearts that have received forgiveness and reconciliation from God. Is that true or not? You can all say amen to that. Every person who has received forgiveness and reconciliation, he forgives and reconciles. It is a gift from God. It cannot be otherwise. On Calvary, reconciled to God and forgiven through Jesus Christ our Lord. God beseeches by us. Oh yes, that God uses people, sinful and weak, wretched and whatnot. And yet, do you know that a man who is saved, he knows what he's talking about. If an angel came and gave us a sermon here, he wouldn't know what to talk about. Is it true or not? You have to have experienced it yourself. You have to have been lost to know what it means to have been saved. If the things are not there, then it doesn't work. So God uses people who have been reconciled to God to offer divine reconciliation to others and to talk to them about it. God uses people who have received forgiveness to be able to tell others that God's forgiveness and grace is also there for them. God uses human mouths to proclaim the precious message of salvation and reconciliation. Now it says here, for he has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I'm glad that this Menge Bible translated this very passage so clearly. Brother Branham once emphasizes it in a sermon. Not only that we would receive a kind of righteousness of God somehow, but that we would become the direct righteousness of God. I read it again. It is written here, "For he has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Not only justified by God, but made God's righteousness in Christ. No human being can grasp that, but that is how it is. A full acquittal, a full pardon, a full salvation for all eternity given by God in Jesus Christ our Lord. And for that we may be thankful with all our hearts. He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that in him we might, not you in yourself and I in myself, but that we all, you and I, might be in him, even in Christ, would become God's righteousness. That is a full salvation, a total redemption. That is the full gospel in the truest sense of the word. And full gospel means already what it says. Nothing more needs to be added. Everything is contained in it by the grace of God. May we go on to give thanks to the Lord. And this is the way that he shows and reveals his salvation to us. We can often talk about it, but if we don't begin to give thanks, for it is written that right in giving thanks, that is the way that he shows us his salvation. When we begin to give thanks, God will open our eyes wider and wider for the full salvation that we have in Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the way that he shows us the salvation of God. In Christ we are reconciled and have received the righteousness of God, justified and made worthy to behold his face. To him be praise and glory for ever and ever. Amen. I just want to say what became great to me from the word. It says, "For God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself." I had to think about it. God spoke to his people Israel in the old covenant, and he did not want them to be lost, but kept reminding them to come to him, to turn to him. He has no pleasure in death, but wants every person to live. And so we see that it was not only the people of Israel, but he has provided salvation for all nations in Christ Jesus our Lord. I have just opened the word from Ezekiel, this scripture. Here it says so wonderfully from verse 31, Ezekiel 18 from verse 31, "Cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit." That's a wonderful exhortation. And I think, isn't it the same order in the New Testament? Does not the word say that we should cast all our care upon Him and lay everything under the cross? Yes, here it says in Ezekiel 18:31, cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? Dear brothers and sisters, we may bring everything under the cross, lay everything down, and we can say, whoever does not will die. Whoever does not come under the cross, there is no salvation for him. But praise and thanks be to the Lord that you and I were allowed to come under the cross. And we have already heard, it sounds evangelistic, but perhaps it is necessary for God to speak to us in this way. Maybe we have received too much teaching. Maybe we need it. Yes, I don't know why, but sometimes it is like that. I don't want to say anything about it, but I had been very frightened that night. I had a very frightening dream, and I don't want to say it here, deliberately not. And I woke up, and I just thought, my God, if only people would realize, it could be the last hour, it could be the last moment when we are called. I had to think of myself like that, and of others, of believers, or who claim to be believers. I thought, are we even ready? Are we even ready that we can go, that we can be called away when our hour strikes? Or are we not ready? It was quite tremendous in that dream. I woke up and I had been so worried about myself. I have to say it like this, because I had to ask myself, are you even ready? Any moment it could be. Any moment it could be. Brothers and sisters, we probably think that we live so thoughtlessly and think that our time is still always. And it is still who knows how long away. Oh, this dream had so much to say to me. And all I had to say was, my God, help me when the time comes that I could be with you, that I would be ready to enter. We heard the word that Brother Schmidt read as the word of introduction. We want to be transformed, to be clothed. Yes, may it indeed come to that. And then it says here in verse 32, for I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live ye. This is what God says in the Old Covenant. In the Old Covenant, be converted, cling to God, come to me. God has called, not only in the New Covenant, but already in the Old Covenant. He remains the same. And here we read it. This verse became so great to me when it was read. For God was in Christ. Here in the Old Covenant God spoke, and here in the New Covenant God spoke. One and the same. There is no other. He is the same. He spoke in the Old Covenant, He speaks in the New Covenant, through our Lord Jesus Christ. He has remained the same, and He has no pleasure in the death of a man, but He wants us to live, and that is why He has given grace, That is why He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, and established reconciliation. It is established, indeed. Brothers and sisters, that is a wonderful word. And if we read the whole chapter, I read it today, it speaks of it over and over again. He has no pleasure, but He wants the people to be converted, to repent. And if we have fallen away, then He has been concerned again that they should repent. That is God. He is not like a man who gives up straight away. You all know, we give up easily. We say, there is no hope, no salvation, there is nothing left. But with God, all things are possible. We have heard that He will withdraw for a while, but then they will call out to Him. Then they will see and realize that they are lost without Him. That's it, brothers and sisters. And I think it should not even come to that with us. But we have to realize it tonight, that we cannot be without Him at all. We need Him more and more. And here we can join with the hymn writer, I need Thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like Thine. Thy blood was shed for me. I need Thee every hour. Jesus, I need Thee. Stay Thy nearby. I don't know, but God speaks in different ways. I don't take dreams that seriously. But you know, maybe God speaks through dreams sometimes. And it had been a very frightening dream, especially for me. And I just said, my God, have mercy on me. And I already said, I will not say it here. I had to cry. I got up and I cried before God. You know, it's not that simple. God may speak to one in this way, to another in another way. But our desire is, right now, when so many things are happening in the world, and every day we hear of new things, and people are suddenly dying, and they have no hope. But we as believers, we should stand so firm on Him, be so firm around Him. As we read on Sunday afternoon of the girdle, and it says there that His people should be so girded around Him, should be so tied to Him, should be so wrapped around Him. That's it. He would have us to be so close to Him, to be so joined to Him. Yes, not to depart from His hand, but to remain with Him. May the faithful God help us all to do that. And we have heard these precious words tonight. They are given to us. And we have also heard it from Philippians. And there Paul says, not that I already attained, but I follow after. I press toward the mark for the prize. And that, I thought, is what we too would like to do, to press toward the mark for the prize. May He give us grace. Brother Frank has already said that we should thank God. Indeed, we have much reason to thank our God for the grace that has been given to us. First of all, for allowing us to come again and again under the sound of His Word, that we can come here to worship. You know, it's a special grace when you don't come up with the idea and say, huh, I can also pray here or at home. You know, God wants us to have fellowship with each other and with Him. For under the sound of His Word, we are edified, encouraged, admonished, rebuked. Yes, everything is given to us under His Word. And our faith can only be strengthened when we sit under the sound of the Word. There is no other way. But as the Scripture says, Faith comes by hearing. But if you don't listen to a sermon, how can you have faith? It is impossible. It cannot be. But praise and thanks be to the Lord. Even if we can only do it in weakness, brothers and sisters, but still we do it in weakness, and God will reveal Himself mightily through that weakness, and we believe that He has also prepared the blessing for you and for me tonight, and He will bless us. He will bless you and me. He will bless us all together. Let us remember everyone in prayer. God knows all things. He knows also our requests, yours and mine. He knows what we want to bring to Him. I think we should stand and worship Him. Let us do it. Thank you, Lord, for your precious and holy word. We know your word does not return void. It accomplishes what you send it to do. Thanks be to you for this, Lord. Thanks be to you, Lord, for every word we may read, whether in the Old or New Testament. You spoke in the Old Covenant. You spoke in the New, Lord. You are still speaking today, Lord. You have not changed yet. You are the faithful Savior. Lord, we pray. We are human beings in flesh and blood. You know our whole being, our whole life. Everything is open before you. Lord, you know we are human beings, forgetful and weak, with faults. But you are one who is faultless, Lord. You gave your blood for us, Lord. You have paid the price for us. Thanks be to you for that. And so we come as we are right now, Lord. Lord, you know we are human. Forgive us our shortcomings. Forgive my shortcomings. Forgive all sins, all transgressions, all faults, Lord. Lord, when you come, that we might be ready, that we may enter with you into your glory, into your kingdom, Savior. This is my desire, Lord. This is my prayer. Bless us all, O God. Lord, we bring you also the petition, Lord, for our brother and the others all, O God. You know each one. Lord, you know how it is with each one. You see through everything. Your eyes run through all the lands, for you have eyes like flames of fire. Lord, you know our motives. You know our hearts. You know the hearts of those, Lord, who are sick and afflicted, Lord. My God, have mercy and be gracious for your name's sake. And we also pray, Lord, deliver, for thou art the great physician. Thou art the deliverer. Praise be to your wonderful name. To you alone is due all honor and all worship. Hallelujah. Glory to your wonderful name. Continue to be with us. Bless us. Bless this weekend, Lord. Bless us all. Bless our homes, our families. Lord, we lay everything before you. You will make all things well. Be praised. In Jesus' name. Amen.